Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Eid Mubarak. I'm about to brief the Security Council on the vital role of the regional organization on United Nations peacekeeping operations. Before I do, I just wanted to update the current situation in the Middle East. Let me begin by reinforcing last night's call of the Security Council, calling for an immediate, unconditional humanitarian ceasefire. As you know, I issued a statement yesterday calling for a 24-hour extension of the humanitarian ceasefire, and I did the same but this morning, early this morning. As the world marks Eid al-Fitr, it is time for an immediate, unconditional humanitarian ceasefire. In the name of humanity, the violence must stop. As you know, I have just returned from the region. Over the course of 6 days, I held extensive consultations with the leaders in the region in 8 countries in the Middle East, as well as U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, who has been working tirelessly and valiantly to end the fighting. Since my return during the weekend, I have continued with a number of calls to world leaders, including Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel this morning. I had a long talk with him, again urging him to stop this violence and agree and honor the international community's joint common efforts and call for urgent humanitarian unconditional ceasefire. Gaza is in critical condition. Israeli missiles have pummeled Gaza. Hamas rockets have randomly struck Israel. No country would accept the threat of rockets from above and tunnels from below. At the same time, all occupying powers have an international legal obligation to protect the civilians. I was deeply disappointed that dangerous hostilities resumed on Sunday. But since Sunday evening, a relative and very fragile calm on the ground has been established. The temporary weekend pause in fighting brought a brief respite to war-weary civilians. It also revealed how much the massive Israeli assault has devastated the lives of the people of Gaza. We saw scenes of indiscriminate destruction. Some described it as a man-made hurricane, a whole neighborhood reduced to debris, rubble, blocks of flattened apartment buildings, scores of bodies still buried under mountains of twisted wreckage. The death toll keeps climbing. The fighting has claimed well over 1,000 Palestinian lives, most of them civilians, hundreds of them children. Hamas rocket fire has claimed the lives of 3 Israeli civilians. At least 16 Palestinian civilian deaths and more than 200 injuries came as a result of an appalling assault on a UN school in Beit Hanun. We were sheltering families, women and children, who had sought refuge from the fighting. Ongoing hostilities have prevented establishing conclusive responsibility. It is imperative to do so and to have accountability for this outrageous crime. Indeed, there must be accountability and justice for crimes committed by all sides. On Friday, I spoke with some of our UNRWA staff to thank them for their heroic work. One of our colleagues told me, there is no safe place in Gaza. The people of Gaza have nowhere to run. They are trapped and besieged on a speck of land. Every area is a civilian area. Every home, every school, every refuge has become a target. The casualty and damage figures also raise serious questions about proportionality. Today, more than 173,000 Gazans are seeking protection in UNRWA facilities. That means about 10% of the entire population is sheltering under the UN flag. I repeat yet again my call on Israel and all parties to do vastly more to ensure the safety of these UN sites and the security of the people who have sought sanctuary there. Israelis and Palestinians have a responsibility to stop the fighting now, to start the dialogue now, and to address the root causes that will finally break the endless cycles of senseless suffering. That means securing peace through mutual respect, an end to the economic strangulation of Gaza, and nearly half a century of occupation. More suffering and siege conditions in Gaza will only hurt innocent civilians, further isolate Israel, empower extremists on all sides, and leave our world far less safe. That is why I will continue to work with the Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas and other regional and global leaders to deliver the peace that the Israeli and Palestinian people so desperately need and so fully deserve. Thank you.
Mr. Secretary General, why is it that with all these efforts, there hasn't been a longer-term ceasefire? What is the obstacle?
It's a matter of their political will. They have to show their humanity as leaders, both Israeli and Palestinians, and particularly when they continue to fight, then it's only the people, only the civilians, helpless civilians, who are being suffered and killed. That is why I have been urging, really, first and foremost, stop the fighting. Then sit down together. Then address all the root causes, put all the root causes, underlying issues on the table. That has been my three continuing messages, very simple and continuing messages. And I'm repeating again, we cannot continue to see many people continuing to be killed like this way. Why these leaders are making their people to be killed by others is not responsible, morally wrong. That's, yeah.
You've reached out to Prime Minister Netanyahu several times, as you've indicated, asking him to cease the violence immediately. Hamas is the other party to the conflict. When you were in Qatar, was there any effort made to get you to meet with Hamas political leader Khalid Mashal, and to try to persuade him also engage in an immediate ceasefire? And if not, could you say, tell us why not? Thank you.
I have been talking mainly to Israeli Prime Minister and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, and our communication with Hamas has been indirect one through the help of Qatar and Turkish government. I have been continuously speaking with Emir of Qatar and Foreign Minister, as well as Prime Minister Erdogan of Turkey and the Foreign Minister. Even yesterday, I have been speaking with the Turkish leadership. Whatever the means of communication may be, it is important, that imperative, that both sides must stop, and they should listen to the calls and appeals from all the people around the world. Now, by this time, all the world's people are deeply concerned about what is going on and about what they are seeing every day, the people being killed. It's an issue of humanity. They should have, first of all, compassionate leadership. As a leader, they should first take care of the lives of their own people.
Well, some have expressed criticism at last night, this morning's presidential statement, as the Security Council fiddling while Rome burns. Given the urgency you're expressing here for an end to hostilities and the expression of disappointment from the Palestinian representative last night calling for a resolution, why, sir, have you not called for a resolution?
Well, I should not have any comment on what the Security Council members have decided. Of course, everybody hoped and expected that the Security Council would take a resolution which is legally and politically binding. But they have agreed to have a presidential statement instead of resolution. That is their decision. But I believe still, if the parties have a political will, whether it is a presidential statement or resolution, I think they can stop this violence. It's not a matter of the format of this resolution. Even before this Security Council has taken such action, many world leaders, including myself as the Secretary General of the United Nations, has been appealing and urging the parties to stop the violence. That should have a moral voice, and moral voice should have been heeded by all the parties. Then, with the Secretary John Kerry, Foreign Minister Shukri of Egypt, and League of Arab States, the Secretary General El Arabi, and myself, four made the joint common appeal on Friday evening. Then I think this should have been immediately respected. I was encouraged then when I issued the 12-hour extendable ceasefire. Then it was immediately respected. Then the fighting continued. And I issued already two statements yesterday and today. I hope together with the Security Council presidential statement, I hope parties will really honor and respect the international community's joint efforts. Thank you very much. Thank you.
About UNRWA and its the admission of Israel that, in fact, a shell by Israel or shells hit the UNRWA school, does that, from your point of view, square the responsibility, despite the explanations of Israel that, there was wounded, not dead? And why is it taking so long for you to have this investigation concluded, although your people in UNRWA, in Gaza, are telling you clearly from their point of view what has happened, and particularly because the Palestinians say it is your responsibility as the United Nations to provide Palestinians international protection. Can you address both points, please?
I understand your concern, and that is my also deepest concern, that we have not yet been able to have a conclusive investigation yet because of a continuing situation. Yesterday, during 12-hour lull and pause, then we were able to see first-hand situation, but this investigation should continue to have a conclusive result on what has really happened, who really did, and I have been urging that those perpetrators who have committed this attack should be brought to justice. But you remember that 2009, the UNRWA office was again shelled by, at the time, Israeli tanks. I went there myself. This time, because of the whole continuing violence and situation, I was able only to speak with our staff via video, and I expressed my strong solidarity, and this investigation will continue as soon as possible. Again, thank you very much. Thank you.